passage of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. I could just as well ask for you to read from verse 1, but let us hear verse 3 first, because the entire lesson surrounds that verse, even though other verses will be brought to bear on it. Hebrews 11, verse 3.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God.
No, verse 3. Repeat it. Just verse 3.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. What is that saying? The essence of the lesson surrounds that thought. But the three essential truths that vaguely stated part of the verse state, we may not even get to that this week. What we discuss this week is some truth relating to creation, truth that you are to know. When we say God created the world, how many of us understand the implication of that? Wait. But Brother Mitchell, I've been hearing about God create the world, and as a Christian, I believe that, okay? Thank God. I repeat, when we say God created the world, what are some of the ideas? Because that's what the writer is dealing with here. Does it mean the same thing like when you say, the contractor built the house? No, it does not mean the same thing. For one, the contractor did not build that house out of material that he has created. Wait. The contractor built that house, that office building, out of already existing material. Material that existed. And that he put those material together and therefore build the house or the office building. It is not the same thing when we say God created the world. Let me just throw this to man does not create anything. Man may build things, manufacture things. But here is it. He always starts with something. Whatever, and we live in the industrial age. It is the age when you see the production of things. Sometime, you know, I'll say, we're Ford, General Motors, Toyota, Nissan, VW, BMW, Volvo. where do all these car manufacturers get metal to make engine block and all of that? You see, they have to start with something. They don't build, no builder, no engineer, no scientist started out with nothing. There is something that they build from. God started out with nothing. That's the point in Hebrew. Read it again, verse 3, brother, just verse 3.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
You have to notice it is worlds. But Brother Mitchell, I thought it was one word. We will address that in a few minutes. It is world, it is pluralized. Not only there, but in chapter 1, same way. The word world is pluralized instead of being a singular. Why? Read it again, brother.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
The worlds were framed. That is created by the word of God. Now listen to the rest of the verse.
So that things which are seen.
That things that are seen. That is the tangible things. The visible things.
So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
You get the point? The things that God made so that you can now see them, God didn't start with anything that you could see. He started with nothingness. So when we say that God created the world, it's not the same thing like the builder build the house. The builder start with material that was already here. God start with nothingness. Hebrews 11, and especially here verse 3 and one or two other verses, is about the nature and the power of faith. What he's laying down before he goes on to discuss the great characters of faith, that the writer felt the need to lay down the basis, the fundamental of our faith. It must start with the creative work of the Almighty God. The writer of the book of Hebrews starts here in verse 1 with the most basic, the most fundamental of our Christian belief. And he started out with the very first utterance of God's revelation. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? We are reading in Hebrew. The first utterance from God's revelation is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That's exactly where the writer of Hebrew is. Wait, say that again, Brother Mitchell. You lose me. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 3, that the brother has just read, the writer is going back to Genesis 1:1. It's about the creation. Read Genesis 1:1, and brother have the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.
Genesis 1:1.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Stop there. That's where Hebrews 11:3 is. Hear it. Read.
And the earth was without form.
No, Hebrews 11:3.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things.
The difference between those two verses, the one in Genesis 1:1 and the one in Hebrews 11:3, is that Hebrews 11:3 just give a little extension. That God's creation, that is, it's like the Hebrews writer is saying, don't misunderstand this. God's creation is that God started with nothing. The writer tells us that things not seen and things hoped for is the life of all that the Christian does. Wait. Listen, verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11.
For by it the elders obtain a good report.
I was about to ask that you read a little further, but you can stop there. I repeat, the writer of Hebrews tells us that the things not seen and the things hoped for control the life of the believers. Things, faith is the substance. Verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So you see, things that we do not see, things that we hope for, that is, our faith is on those things. Things we can't see now. Things we hope for. The writer is saying that is what control the life of the children of God. He ties, of course, the things we cannot see, the things we hope for, is tied to the existence and the operation of God. That it is tied to the fact that the things we do not yet see, the things we hope for, is tied to the fact that there is a God and that God is active in this world. That's where our faith is. The visible universe, we are told, was not made out of equally visible raw material. Let me repeat that. The writer here in Hebrew is telling us that the visible universe, that is the world that we can see with our eyes, was not made out of things that were equally visible. The Almighty God, when God started, if you and I were there, and God says, look, this is what I'm going to take and make the world, there would be nothing for you and I to see, because there was nothing. God's eternal power started with emptiness. God's eternal power started with nothingness. God's eternal power started with total void. God's power brought the visible out of the invisible. Put that another way, Brother Mitchell. God's power started or brought about that which we can see and hold out of that which there was nothing to see. Are we all there? Something out of nothing. That's how God created the world. God brought a there out of no there. Right, when we say to you, look, there is the thing. Then I am pointing that there is something there for you to look at. But when God was creating the world, if somebody was saying, there, look at it. There was nothing. It's out of no there that God brought. There is now a world. Read the last part of Hebrews again, the last part of verse 3. Same 11.
So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Things that are there was made out of no there. There was nothing there. God created the world. Well, the man created the house. No, it's not the same thing. Wait. When Paul wrote the book of Paul, or whichever of the inspired writer, the book of Hebrews, during that time, prevailing at that time was the Greek speculation about the formation of the world. Of course, this speculation started a few hundred years before Jesus Christ. And the Greeks speculated that whoever built the world formed the world out of formless matter. You read, there are many books now, and there are many modern day philosophers and scientists that believe that. We all heard about evolution, the world evolved. You know, it started probably from a little speck there, and then it go on and go on and go on and go on and go on until we have what we have here now. Well, as I've said, in the time of Jesus Christ and before and after, when Greek speculation and philosophy spread, the business where the earth was made or formed out of formless matter. And that means you throw me down 5 load of sand and cement out there, or 20 load, whatever, and the sand and the cement is formless. It's not built anything. But I take that sand and cement and build a house out of it. I may take the sand and cement to build block, and from there onward. What the Greek philosophers and thinkers said, that the world was formed out of formless matter. In other words, they are implying that if it is the Hebrew God, you see, the Greek, like the Romans, had many gods. If it is the Hebrew God, he started, when he came along to build the world, he saw something, matter without form. In fact, even one of the prominent Hebrew writers, Philo, he's a Jew that lived just about the time of Jesus Christ and Paul, or a few years before, believe this, that God, the Creator, started with something that was already there. It was matter without any shape or form. So they create the world by putting matter to some form and some shape. Are we all there? This Greek speculation influence, as I've said, Jewish thinkers and writers of that time, including the Jewish writer Philo. Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher and thinker, Aristotle believed in the eternity of matter. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? He believes matter has always been here and that you cannot destroy matter. It is eternal. Aristotle further believed that nothing can be made out of nothing. Brothers and sisters, the writer of Hebrew in verse 3 of chapter 11 is stating the very opposite, that God made something out of nothing. Here, one of the world's greatest philosopher and thinker, the Greek philosopher Aristotle, is saying that no one can make something out of nothing. You see, Aristotle did not know God. And Aristotle did not have the word of God to build a faith in the work of God. Because what the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 is laying down in verse 3 before he expand on the heroes of faith, is laying down the very foundation of our faith system. Wait. If you and I believe in Jesus Christ and don't believe this first statement by God, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you are in trouble. In other words, our faith is meaningless if we claim we believe in Jesus Christ. But what God states about his plan, his purpose, his work, his creative miracle, we don't believe it. Have you ever considered statement by Christ? He believe in God, believe also in me. You get it? Jesus Christ is implying there in John that, of course, he was acknowledging a truth, that the Jews believe in God. They should also believe in him. He was stating a fact that belief in God is essential. You cannot just take Jesus Christ and leave out the Father. And you cannot take the Father and leave out the Son. Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God comes first. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because Christ was not revealed until thousands of years after God revealed himself. From he started out in Genesis, God revealed himself. Yes, God not only can, but God did make something out of nothing. That's how comes the world, the universe. Look at Hebrews. Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Let us hear it.
For by him were all things created.
Stop there. And somebody turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Start again, brother. Colossians 1, 16.
For by him were all things created.
Mm-hmm. All things. Without exception, it was the Almighty God through Jesus Christ who brought something out of nothing. That is creation. Read.
That are in heaven.
All the things that are in heaven.
And that are in earth.
All the things that are on earth.
Visible and invisible.
But that which we can see, wait. Remember, there are some realities that you and I cannot see. We only feel their effect. But all those things, you cannot see the wind, you can feel the effect. All that was created, that's what the writer here of Colossians is saying. Both the seeing and the verse 16.
Yes. Whether there be thrones.
Whether there be thrones.
Or dominions.
Dominions.
Or principalities.
Principality. Wait. Principalities talking about the heavenly being. Even those who are fallen angels, God created them. The writer is saying, everything that you see here, God is responsible for it coming into existence. And that God did not start out with anything. God started out with emptiness, nothingness, and void. The verse finished, brother?
No, it's not. Or powers.
Powers.
All things were created by him and for him.
You hear that too? All things was not only created by Christ, God. Christ here is the agency. God created all things by the agency of Christ. But it was created for Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Uh-huh.
Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead.
Even God who make the dead alive.
And call it those things which be not as though they were.
That's the little last statement there I like. The Almighty God called things that do not exist, deal with them as if they were in existence. Because if God's plan and purpose is for them to come into existence, even though they have not yet existed, God deal with them as if they are already here, because God going to bring them to be here, even though they have not yet existed. Read that part again, brother. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, verse 17.
As it is written.
As it is written.
I have made thee a father of many nations.
What the verse is dealing with is the power of the Almighty God. I make you a father of many.
Before him whom he believed.
Mm-hmm. Abraham believed God. Read.
Even God.
Mm-hmm.
Whom quickeneth the dead.
God quicken, can make alive the dead. Uh-huh.
And call it those things which be not as though.
Wait. God talk about, name, call those things which do not exist
as though they were.
As though they were in existence. Amen. That's the great God. I want you to notice again, back to Hebrews chapter 11, 3. Uh-huh. Read. 11, 3. And if you want, you can have one. Chapter 1, verse 2. Read.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
That the worlds, W-O-R-L-D-S, that the worlds was framed by the word of God. Brother Mitchell, I've always thought that it was one word. That the verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Here again, world is pluralized. It is the Greek word aiones. Really mean ages. Why the plural? In fact, in both places, the word world refers to the universe of time and space. Why world, Brother Mitchell? Because whatever planetary body exists in the universe, they were all created by God. And this is why it used plural, not world. If you and I were able to travel space for the next 1,000 years and meet up on different planets and what, this verse pluralize is telling us, even though you didn't know it was there, it was created by God. Let me share with you 3 points briefly as we come down to the end of the lesson. 3 points that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 suggests or implies. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 suggests that God, get this, God existed before the visible universe. That's one of the first things. When you read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it is implying that there was a God before there was a universe. There was a God before there was a word. There was a God before nothing could be turned into something. So it is telling us that the visible universe did not exist before God. God exists before it. In other words, you see the beautiful house. You're told of the architect that built it. Common sense tells you that the architect must have been here before the house. So it is with the Almighty God. Psalms 91 through verse 2. Let us hear that read aloud. Yes, 90 verse 1, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 25 through 30. Let us hear Psalms first.
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place.
You have been our dwelling place throughout.
In all generations.
Generation.
Before the mountains were brought forth.
Wait, brother, that's what we are on. wait. Before the mountain was brought forth, meaning before there was any mountain, what happened? Read, no brother, who are reading?
Or even thou hast formed the earth.
Not only before the mountain was brought into existence, but also before what?
Thou hast formed the earth.
Before you created the world.
And the world.
What happened?
Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
God was God before these things ever come about.
Amen.
God existed before anything ever come about. Read on.
Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday.
You hear that? That is telling us about the eternity of God, that God does not exist in time.
Amen.
Wait. God, you know, one man defined time as a measurement of before and after. What is time? A measurement of what passed and what is coming. But you see, the passage the brother has just read is telling us God does not exist in time. It says 1,000 years.
In the sight.
In God's sight is like a second. Ah! 1,000 years. Methuselah 900 and something. He didn't go 1,000. The passage there is telling us of the eternal existence of God. And that God does not live in time. All of time and all of eternity is bungled up in one glance. In one glance, God is looking on 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 years ago. One glance. And in that one glance, as God sees 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years ago, the Almighty God is also seeing 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years to come in one glance. In the same way, in one glance, I see all that is in my hand middle. That's the way the eternity of God works. And when the psalmist says that 1,000 years is like a glance, he's dealing with the awesomeness of God's eternity. Did I also say Proverbs 8:25-30? A lot of what is said in this is about Jesus Christ, if my memory serves me right. Let us hear that passage. Proverbs 8:25-30. We are still on the point. God existed before the visible universe. Before anything that you and I see in the world, no, God was before them. Read, brother.
Before the mountains were settled.
Before the mount, the brother is in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 25. Before the mountains were settled.
Before the hills was I brought forth.
Before the hills were brought forth. Isn't it striking? Don't move. That we are dealing with two different writers. One of them is the wise man Solomon. The other is David. Read, brother.
While as yet he had not made the earth.
You see, there was a time when God exists, but the world didn't exist. Read on.
Nor the fields,
mm-hmm.
Nor the highest part of the dust of the world.
Uh-huh.
When he prepared the heavens,
uh-huh.
I was there.
Uh-huh.
When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree.
When he gave the sea its decree. Wait. That the sea would occupy only so much. Eh? And that there would be land space for man to inhabit. That's no accident. That's God's doing. You may stop there, brother. So, God existed before the visible universe. We are still in Hebrews chapter 11:3. The second point, that God's existence, that's the second thing we get from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, that God's existence is distinct from and independent of the visible universe. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Our existence is not distinct and independent from the world. You and I depend on the created things to live. We need things, plant, vegetable, fruit. We depend on that. God does not. And Hebrews 11:3 is implying that God's existence is distinct from and independent of the visible universe. God and nature are not identical. Pantheon. All things are God. That's false. God and nature are not identical. God exists independent of nature. God exists before nature. Nature is not God. God thinks, God wins, God purposes. Yes, the Almighty God thinks. Nature does not think. The Almighty God wins. The Almighty God has his will to be carried out. Nature does not will. The Almighty God has his purposes. Nature does not, even though there are laws that God made to control nature, nature is not a person. Nature does not carry personality. The universe is the expression and the embodiment of God's thought and God's purpose. What we see going on in the world today, they are going on because of God's will, God's purpose, and God's permissive will. And last but not least, remember we look on among the things that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 suggests is one, that God exists before the visible universe. One. Two, that God's existence is distinct from and independent of the visible universe. And last but not least, that God is the creator of the visible universe. The world was formed and created by the word of the Almighty God. Psalms 33, verse 6. Psalms 33, verse 6.
Psalms 33, verse 6.
Both verse 6 and verse 9.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
The world did not evolve. It was brought about by God's word.
Amen.
All that we need to understand, I may just make the statement, is that the Almighty God speak the world into existence. What a God.
Verse 9.
That's right. It didn't take any effort. You'd say, God have to wipe a lot of sweat when he finish creating the world. No. God speak the world into existence. Somebody didn't hear that, brother. 33, verse 6 again. Quick.
By the word of the Lord.
By what? By the word of the Lord. What happened?
Were the heavens made?
Were the heavens made? Read.
And all the host of them.
And all the host of whatever heavenly body. What happened?
By the breath of his mouth.
They were brought about in existence by God speaking them into existence. Verse 9.
For he spake, and it was done.
Stop here. Yeah, yeah. You know, even the business about Sabbath rest, vastly misunderstood by people like Sabbatarian. You know, it's like after God created the universe, after 7 days, God got so tired he must take a break. It's nothing of that sort. You understand? It takes literally a few seconds for God to speak the world into existence. It's almost an effortless venture for God because of the power, wisdom, might of the Almighty God. When the Bible talks about God rest, it means that aspect, God took a break from that aspect of his work. But watch here. God never stopped working. How do I learn that? From Jesus Christ. My Father worketh, therefore I work. That is present tense. My Father continues to work, and therefore I work. That statement by Jesus Christ means God has always been working. But it is the power and might of God at work. You don't need kerchief like me. No. Because God accomplished what he has accomplished through his might, his power, his wisdom. It's important that we understand when we talk about creation, we understand that among the implications is that the Almighty God brought something out of nothing. No man has ever done that, and no man will ever do that. Whatever we make, however great we are, whatever man has accomplished, all the advances humanity has made, man has not yet made something out of nothing. Praise and thanks be to the mighty everlasting God. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, you can come and give your life to Christ. Jesus Christ is still calling men and women to himself. Christ in love, in grace, in mercy is saying, come unto me, all he who labors and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. Wait, you need Jesus Christ. But you know the great thing about that? Jesus Christ wants you. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ wants to be the manager of your life. But you must respond to the gospel truth that he died for your sin. He's your Lord, your Savior. Therefore, you must submit your life to him in faith, believing in him. You must submit to him in repentance from sin. You must submit your life to him in willingness to confess his name. And you must submit your life to him by being baptized. Come now, as we stand and sing. 600 and